Eurovision.
Quick fire ratings.
Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
You really should not like this song, but you can't help it.
If I listen to your song while I brush my teeth, like, I'm obsessing over the song.
This is boring. This is really... How did this win, honestly? But then, you know, it's Denmark. God bless them.
God bless them.
I think I did give it room to grow, and it did not grow. It died a death.
Mop up, put on a positive spiel.
However, I'm actually not going to do that.
I have a feeling that we could be upset.
Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's a fact, Connor.
Stop talking.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. And the quickfire ratings for 2025 continue today with three more countries up for discussion. We're going to be talking about Luxembourg, Malta and Montenegro today. We're nearly done, but we still got a few more to go. Before we get into the episode, though, Louise, as always, we all got to ask, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
I'm well, lads. Today is Thursday. I'm probably ready for the weekend. Similar to all of your cells, we're coming up to a bank hall and we're coming up very soon indeed to the first Eurovision rehearsals taking place. So very, very excited. This is our craziest time of year, Connor. We have a jam-packed episode today. I did mention before this, trigger warning to any grannies, I do feel like this episode would kill a granny.
Yeah, and it nearly did kill the audience at Belvedere.
House Gardens and Park.
House Gardens and Park.
Yeah.
A few days ago. Sorry,
time of my life. Luxembourg, Malta, Montenegro are on the table today, as Connor has said. So yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. It's a really weird trio of entries to discuss. Not
we'll
much synergy between them. You know what I mean? It's like a group project gone wrong when like three of the strangest, like most unique people are put together, you know?
I was listening to Chris Bjorkman on the Eurotrip podcast. It'll probably be out a few weeks by the time you're listening to this episode, but he was talking about like making the running order for the show and he's always talking about the flow. I just feel like if this was the running order, this just would not go in his running order.
Whiplash.
This whiplash of Luxembourg, Malta and Montenegro. But yeah, just the way the alphabet fall, I guess. So.
Shinawil. Will we kick it off then?
We will indeed. We're going to kick it off with Luxembourg. They, of course, made their return to the contest last year and got to the final and actually did reasonably okay. This year, they are going to be represented by Laura Thorne with the song La Poupée Monte le Son. That's probably the only pronunciation I've ever got right on this podcast.
Well, you can tell the L leaving sir French came out there. What? Did you do French to leaving sir?
I did.
Fair play.
Oui.
Oui, oui. Oui, oui.
C'est très bien.
Oui, oui. Couscous. Yeah, we're not talking about France though. We're talking about Luxembourg. And they're back. They're back again. Guess who's back? Back again. They're back in the contest. If you listened way back in January, because this was one of the very first songs, I recall, Connor, us sitting with the new studio setup discussing this song and I had all my nerdy little notes and I was very excited about the link this song has to Poupée de Si, Poupée de Son. We've also since met Laura Thorne in London and she's an absolute legend. Like, you had the loveliest chat with her.
Yeah, she
I was so
really
endeared
nice.
Towards her.
Really, really nice.
Really nice. She did a fantastic, speaking of the Eurotrip, interview with them where she started talking about lingerie and poor Rob was blushing from ear to ear. She said she loves going to London to get her Victoria's Secret bits.
Oh, wow.
And I'd say that was not on Rob's bingo card that morning. So I love that little bit of content for him. Oops. Yeah, amazing.
As you do.
As for the song, though, I mean... Like, I love Poupée de Si, Poupée de Son, but like, you know, the novelty of that, as a fan who sat with this for a couple of months, like, I don't really care about the harping back anymore. But I love what she's trying to do. But in terms of my enjoyment of the actual song, like, it's sweet. I really like her. The visuals are okay. I think I'm hoping they've improved them a little bit for Basel. But I can see out there, it's so interesting. I don't know if you've been following the OJE vote. Mm-hmm. And she's picking up more points than I would have thought she will in general. And I think this is a little bit of an OJE vote, perhaps, of kind of like, longer term fans who enjoy the kind of harking back, you know, to winners of the past. Because if I'm correct, I think Luxembourg won a Poupée de Cie, Poupée de Sang in 1967. So it's a fair...
Take a shot every time you say La Poupée de
Cie, Poupée de Sang.
It was like that in the original episode. I remember going, how she keeps saying so well.
It's like the way it just rolls off the tongue. It's like Belvedere House Gardens and Park, you know?
Sorry.
We are not sponsored by Belvedere House Gardens and Park.
Oh my
anyway,
God.
The song, the chanson.
Come back to that. Go on.
Yeah. I love Laura. She's a legend. I love that she's a primary teacher, fellow mentor. Love that for her.
Mentor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Très bien.
Fellow mentor. Très bien.
Très bien.
Quel surprise. Quel dommage. Yeah. And she's fantastic. I think she'll sell this. I would genuinely love Luxembourg to turn up with like something really, really spicy, like something really cool with this package. There's been a bit of talk online because they're in the same semi-final as ourselves. Will Luxembourg and Ireland kind of go head to head with that cutesy kind of vote? I mean, I personally think they're different enough because Emmy's song has the EDM nostalgic 90s kind of thing going for it, whereas Luxembourg's more the classic pop, like it's even a touch of Schlager in parts, I feel. But I think I understand visually maybe what people mean, that it's more appealing to children and families, you know, that kind of way. And you might potentially have little girls at home who enjoy the kind of doll-esque energy, and then parents who enjoy the historic throwback, I suppose, to Poupée de Cie, Poupée de Sang. But yeah, this is like, for me, it's grand, like a little bit of a skip, if I'm honest. But then when I accidentally leave it on, I'm singing along. So there's something catchy in it, but not, you know, not up the scoreboard personally. Yourself, Connor.
Yeah, it's a clever entry. I do like the historical ties, but I always, you know, you got to remember the majority of people on the night will not know or care that it has that historical link whatsoever. You're relying on the commentators to say it, which they probably won't be. They're probably talking some, no, just from Graham Norton and Marty Whelan. They're probably making a joke about something regarding it. So,
microstate, Luxembourg.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think that's going to come across on the night. Visually, we're not getting any reference to it either, you know, bar the clip at the start. But I don't even think they're allowed to use that in the show now.
Oh, that's a good
that's
point.
That's gone,
yeah.
Probably. Mm. So you're not really getting any link to it. So I think discount that. I would be discounting that just because of logistics and stuff like that. The song itself, I do agree, when you leave it on, it is catchy, but I'm not actively seeking it out. And I think that says a lot when you're not, you kind of forget it's there. And then when it comes on, it's nice, but you're not actively looking to put it on, which I think is a bit of a problem. Visually though, I hate what she's wearing. I know it's referencing the doll, but I think it looks a bit trashy, if I got to say, personally, in my opinion. I don't like it. I think they could scale it up. LEP, the LED screen was cheap. It had this kind of neon thing going on with La 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 coming across. If that's the way they're going down, I'm just like, oh my God, bin that in the bin. Bring that back to staging from the Luxembourg National Final. And I didn't even like that. This LED neon thing, it just cheapens it so much. Mm. And really play into the doll. Like, that's what kind of worked on the stage. And I showed this to a local friend and she was saying, oh, I love that. She's nearly pretending to be a doll. Amp that up. Like, have strings. Have her on strings, you know, pretending to be the doll. Cut the strings at the end. Do something cool like that. I just think the way they've gone about it isn't... The execution on this is really, really poor, and it's just getting worse. You see a slight improvement from pre-party to pre-party. You see kind of an idea coming together. You saw that a bit with Bambi, you know, outfits were being, you know, explored and what
it's
works.
It's a good time to test out, isn't
test
it?
Test things out. Whereas with this, I just feel like she still has the same outfit on, and then the LED screen, I'm just, oh, jeez, it's just not going in a good direction for Luxembourg. And again, just picking up on what you said about the comparisons between Ireland and Luxembourg, we keep getting put into the same bracket. I don't see that whatsoever. I don't find this a childish entry. I get what people are saying with the whole doll thing, but I look at this and I think it's mature. It's more mature. I can't speak today. It's more of a mature entry. I just think they're very different songs. I don't see how someone voting for Ireland would vote for Luxembourg. So I don't agree with that comparison whatsoever that people are making. And I keep hearing it year, you know, from vloggers and people writing about this. And I'm just like, no, like, what are you saying? I don't agree with this whatsoever. That's just my personal opinion on that. There's a lot of work to be done with this. We saw last year Luxembourg qualified and they clearly can qualify. I think this is sneaking in if it improves itself. But I'd be worried for it in its current state. I think there's better songs in the semi-final to go through.
To piggyback on or off something you spoke about there, I think your interpretation of what they could do on the stage of her being on the strings and dancing like a doll and cutting her off, that's like a fantastic concept. I was thinking of, if anyone's seen, you know, the classic film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, they do the doll in the music box scene. I loved that as a child, where the female character's kind of dancing like a doll in the box, and then the man is kind of falling all around her like a clown. I loved that whole kind of thing. So they could appeal to that end of things. What might give me hope that they're going in that direction is, there was a conversation recently, and I can't remember if you were there, but there was a group of us talking about how awful the original cover art was for this. Do you remember? It was kind of this like weird makeup and headphones. It was very like, it was given Canva from a randomer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not one to talk. You're the graphics man. I'm not. But like, it really wasn't.
It was atrocious.
It was not good enough, you know. But they've since changed that concept. And actually, I was chatting away to one of her delegation in London while you're interviewing her. And I nearly, like, I was getting distracted because I was having such a nice chat. He was so lovely. And he handed me their press kit. And the new visuals they have is her on the strings. And it's a lot, you know, a lot better. Looks a lot more modern, moving away from that kind of garish pink. And it was a bit more green and blue. And her dress was a little bit more modern in it. So that kind of gave me hope that maybe they've clocked on to that. They've had the most time compared to other countries, you know, to get this in order. So maybe they won't. Like, personally, I prefer them to qualify with this than what they had last year.
Oh, 100% agree. Yeah,
but it's a harder road, I think, for them this year.
And I don't think the EBU will be as friendly to them this year. Remember last year, they were getting a lot of promo when the vote was open and, you know, probably unfairly. So to not have this year, be interesting to see just how well Luxembourg can do. Echoing on what you were saying there about the improvements that they've made, I think it's gone through a slight, not so much a revamp, but maybe just better mixing and stuff like that. I was listening in the car today, and just the bass when it gets to the chorus is really hitting, and it did amplify the song a bit for me. So just, you know, they're obviously getting it right, and is those department. I didn't want to harp on too much about the negatives, so I forgot to mention that. So
many French songs this year as well, like, the Francophones will be delighted,
especially
given it's taking place in Switzerland.
Totally.
But yeah, let's get started on some of the scores. Let me just double check. I'm on Luxembourg. I am. Michael's given this a 2. 1 from Padder. I hate this song. Ha 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 ha. Actually can't stand it. 7 from Maisie K. 5 from Dancer Kevin O.C. 5, excuse me, from Silver Brooch. Catchy, but not top 10. 10 from the original deck. One of my faves this year. Great message. 7 from Jack, 5 from Sparky D, 9 from Skulliver, 3 from Kean, 5 from Bud O'Leary, 3 from Ginger Soul, Silver Bro Ton, you're voting twice a lot. I'm just going to call out one of your votes. 7.5 from Niall, 1 from Eurofan, 6 from Strictly Jonathan, 10 from Friedrich, 5 from Zach, 7 from Danny. And Danny, it was lovely to meet you at the OJE party the other night. He was going around asking Niall and Iko to sign his hat. I lent him my marker, which I thought was good crack. Anyway, Danny gives this a 7, saying, fun, poppy, kitschy pop song. Nothing else to say. Great voice. La, 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 la. And I'll finish off with 7 from D. 7 for effort. And I like the idea behind it of reclaiming the narrative. We love a reclaimed narrative.
Love that. Scott Daney gave this a 5 out of 10. Balinton gave it a 9. And they said, this song has grown on me so much. It has so many great hooks and the lyrics are brilliant. Ash Lennon gave it an 8. Ben gave it a 6 out of 10. It's a good song, but if Ireland puts on a wow show and Luxembourg doesn't, it could suffer. Adam McCallie gave it a 5.5. Dylan Colley gave it a 6. Nathan Cassidy, 7. I think it's so creative from the lyrics and productions. She's an icon. Yup, the music teachers. Stacey gave it a 7. Dara O'Neill, 5. Casey gave it a 6. AAC Crow, 10 out of 10. So original, so catchy, brilliant staging. I just think it's perfection. Gillian Smith, 7.5. Saul Brown 6 and Leah gave it a 3. Not a fan, but a much better entry than last year. And it's, you know, carrying on what we said earlier, Lou. What are you going to give Luxembourg this year?
This year, I'm awarding them a 4.
4, okay. I originally awarded a 3.5, which on reflection may be a bit low for me, but I'll stick with the 3.5 just for, you know,
that was your gut.
But yeah, 3.5. I think there's potential for it to grow. Potential to grow to a 5 or a 6. But I just need to see a bit more of an improvement on that rehearsal week as we go on. That's Luxembourg, yeah. So when we put all the scores together, Luxembourg gets an average of 5.69, which is just below a 6, but not too bad.
Not too bad. All right. So Luxembourg is serving something. Mm-hmm. But our next country is definitely serving lots and lots and lots of can't. We're not afraid of that word here on the Eurovision podcast, okay? We love a minority language here in Ireland in the Eurovision podcast. Next up, of course, is Malta with one of this year's most exciting, controversial, hilarious, whatever you want to call it, entries. Mirjana Kante with serving can't. Connor, have you got your bouncy ball? He's bopping up and down there.
You think I've ever been on a bouncy ball in my life?
That would be a fun challenge. Lou and Connor record a podcast while sitting on one of those yoga balls.
You're like a very motion sickness after a while.
We should do a live show in Belvedere House Gardens and Park on yoga balls.
Serving.
Can't believe that local audience sat through that music video. It's so iconic.
And not one of them flinched.
No.
Like they didn't even go, oh jeez, look at your one. They were mesmerized by the music video.
And we had to rank them and someone actually gave it a 12 and Larissa had put like a party in the mix.
Yeah.
Someone ranked it above the songwriter song who was standing on the stage.
And that lady knows how to use a bouncy ball, a yoga ball. Come on, you good thing.
come on. I mean, like what? This is so... Honestly, I love Malta. Like, this is... It's so good. Like, and maybe it's because we're Irish, Connor, but, like, I have so little patience for the people out there who are like, this is so rude. This is the cussing. Like, get over it. Get over it. It's the 2025. Who cares? Like, she's serving cunt. Let her serve the cunt. Come on.
But she's not serving... Cunt, can't, whatever.
Yeah.
She's serving singing. She's what serving the... singing in Maltese. Oh. That should have been allowed.
Do people not understand when they don't have a minority language? Is that what it is? Is that what this is? Because I haven't seen one Irish person upset with that can't. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Sorry, UK, calling you out. You were telling us to blow on things in 2000, whatever, 7, 2008. And we had no problem back then. And she's serving singing.
I love Scoot.
But yeah, but still, they were blow softening into the microphone or whatever it was. And, you know, strap on your seatbelts and grab it hard. You know, like, that's ridiculous. That's filthy.
Petra,
but that was allowed.
Let's get our towels.
Yeah.
And come together.
So.
Ilkama. This is one for the history books. Honestly, we'll be talking about... I still call the song Can't. We'll be talking about serving for a long, long time. It's just so iconic. The music video is hilarious. Like, her response to the song being censored out was fantastic. Like, the visuals in that music video are so funny. I've absolutely loved the pre-party kind of cameos, the way she's been inviting other pals and other representatives to join her on stage. That's what Eurovision's all about. Like, you are in a competition, but also you have to have some camaraderie. Like, 99% of you are not going to win. So, like, just enjoy the whole experience as it is. Lots of you know I'm a huge Kai fan and their content has been so funny on their Instagram the last few weeks. And I was watching this morning, their manager posted a video of Mirjana over breakfast asking the lads to come out with the yoga balls in Madrid. And the lads are like taking it really seriously from Kai. They're like, oh yeah, yeah. And what part do you want us? And our manager is there. We will let you know. We will give you the balls. And then you will come out on the balls. And you'll bounce on the balls. And Kai are like, we're so excited to come out on the balls. And it's just such amazing content. Can't. Mariana Conte. It all sounds like Mariana content. It's brilliant. I love it so much. The song is so catchy as well. It's so danceable. It's going to be like one of those classics that every Euro bash, every Euro club we ever attend, Connor, serving can. I hope that, I'm sure the arena is going to shout it out a la, what were they called? Eat Your Salad, Lafia, when they couldn't say a particular word back in the day. And I really hope they camp this up even more in Basel. Like, this is a song, just go for it. Throw the silliness at it, throw the campness at it. She's an amazing vocalist as well. I think like that can be glossed over because her whole package is so daring, but she's a fantastic singer as well. So I absolutely love this. Absolutely love this. Connor, take it away, please.
Yeah, absolutely love this as well. It is definitely up in my top three for sure. It is the entry from the start of the season when this first came out that people were talking about it, whether you were a Eurovision fan or not. Like, I know both yourself and myself, Lee, we got so many of our local friends messaging us going like, oh my God, have you heard this Malta song? And we were like, yeah, but it hasn't even been selected yet. And then she obviously goes on and wins the Malta Eurovision Song Contest. And, you know, then it just takes from there. We've had Irish radio stations doing TikToks reacting to this. And you just know this is going to blow up even further on Eurovision week when, you know, everyone can be shown it and seen, you know, see it on stage and listen to it back. And people are going to be talking about this, like you said, for years to come. And I just hope that they can build on, they've built on it already in the pre-parties, but just when it comes to Eurovision week, when it comes to the moment, that they can just make sure that this goes out with an absolute bang as it deserves. And they've obviously been up the wall really with, you know, criticism and having to change things. And, you know, Malta obviously is a small country, so, you know, it's not easy. And like we said in our initial reaction, they've kind of had a bad time recently with, you know, having to do real changes, bad running orders, etc., etc. Obviously on a non-qualification streak at the moment too, having qualified since 2021. So I think this is definitely going to get them back into the final, and I hope to God it gets them the results that is, you know, deserved, I would go as far to say, because this has become one of the most talked about songs this year and probably for a very, very long time in terms of just the local audience. So I hope they can deliver on it. But again, I've nothing more to add personally about the song. I love it. I'm still streaming it. It still has the same effect on me as it did when I first listened to it. Just to echo the pre-party performances, I love the involvement from the contestants this year. Kai, as you mentioned, in London, of course, we had Kojo, JJ and Marco from Croatia, which was great to see. Also the little Zal as well. We also have the, you know, echoing the country that she's in as well. In Amsterdam concert, she had the kind of Europapa remix. In London, she had the Spice Girls remix. In Spain, I think she had, I think it was Zora.
Okay.
It was either Thora or it was Melody's song, one or the other. But it's those little things that can go far away, and the dresses she's had on, the merch as well. I know our friend Valentine, she got given thong that's serving on it. Like, just those little things can go such a long way in the build up and the promotion of the song. But yeah, just A+ for Team Malta this year. And especially considering, like I said, what they've gone through and what they've had to do. But
How gas would it be if this won Eurovision?
Oh, I would be so here
and
for
a
it.
Eurovision in Malta, lads. We would never know anything like it. That country is beautiful.
Yeah.
And so it will be warm, Connor.
Yeah, I know. That's what
I'd
want.
I'd go camp there for 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
I'd just be there for the full hog. See you there. Valletta, we're coming.
No, I'd love to go back to Malta now. That was gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'd be so here for it. I wouldn't be upset with that whatsoever.
The first week,
can she win though? Do you think she could win?
I don't think she's, you know, I kind of hate the odds because it's just people betting, isn't it? But like, she is on top of the odds for a reason. I think with Malta, televote's so tricky for them. They have this kind of automatic disadvantage, don't they? Like, they don't have diaspora. Even in terms of neighbours, like loosely you could say they're neighbours with Italy, but, you know, like, Italy's such a large country with so many other neighbours. It's not impossible though. Like, if the jury randomly on the night is like, all right, like, let's throw her some points, which some juries will, an Irish jury I think will go for this.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, it's harder to know with maybe some of the more conservative countries how those televotes and juries will fare. It depends how daring they go with the staging. If they maybe go too far, it might put some people off. Are they going to go and make it more silly and fun, or are they going to make it more like sexy and glam? You know, it depends. What do you think?
It's definitely an uphill battle. Like you said, I think Televo not necessarily is the issue here. I think it's more so the juries, because I think, like you said, you'll either have juries who will absolutely award this to the cows come home. They'll give it 12s, 10s galore. Or you could have the juries that just blank this straight up. I guess in a way, kind of like a Bambi Thug of last year, you know, juries will either love this and, you know, go for it, give them their top points, or they'll be like discredited last place.
I believe we didn't get jury scores from only like two countries.
Yeah.
Which was really impressive like when you think about it.
And actually, just shout out to ESC Tom. He did a great analysis video on the jury for 2024, but with 2025 in review. It's like a 40-minute long analysis video that's only gone up in the last few days. Definitely worth a watch for any people, just to get a better understanding of how jury scores work. And it's so interesting. If a juror ranks you first, you have a 97% chance of getting points. Second place, you have like a 95%, and third, the 93rd. So if you're one of a juror's favorite, you're very likely to get points, which is just an interesting insight into it. But great video, just to shout out Tom there for a better understanding of the jury, how it works. But yeah, I think it's just going to be a polarizing entry. But there is a chance, like, just thinking of the hype that I had pre-season, can't discredit that whatsever.
It'd be so good. I'd be so happy.
It'd be so, so good. so good. So here for it.
What do our listeners think, though?
Yeah, that is the big question. Of course, you guys have been submitting your scores on our Instagram, on our quickfire boxes, so thank you for that.
Okay, so we'll kick it off with C Fielding with a 6.5, Adele G with a 7, Ole Ree with an 8, Ushin ESC with a 9. No more needs to be said. 10 from Peter, absolute banger. Mariana can sang, no notes. 10 from Ed, 7 from David Keane, 10 from Darren, 6 from Gary, 7 from Leah. Really like it, but find parts of it detached. 8 from Shane, 10 from Arnaldo, 7 from ESC Crow. Iconic, fun, and she's such a queen. 10 from John Creamer, 8 from Dylan, 10 out of 10 from Bio Anno. The EBU were wrong to censor can't. Say it louder. 6 from Ash, 10 from Gavin, 7.5 from Keane Creedon, 10 from Faglington. I don't want to make this a habit, but I'm going to possibly beef with another listener here who's given this 0.
Name and shame.
Japanese Akita USA. I'm sure you're a lovely person. In what world is this a 0? Do you know what I mean? In my very biased opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but it greatly upset me putting the 0 on the spreadsheet, lads. I was like, what is happening? Anyway, Connor, please continue.
Declan Burke gave this a 3. It was funny for a while. Dee's gave it an 8. Lovely to see Malta in the spotlight. Strictly Jonathan, 9.5. She's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment. Sparky D gave it I'd give it an 11 if I could. 10. Love, love, love it. Lou, would you allow an 11 now on the spreadsheet for this now?
Maybe to make up for the 0, because it suits me. Do you know what I mean?
I knew she'd say that. Brent gave it a 10 out of 10. Simply serving flawless. Michal, 10. Disney loving Emma, 8.5. Aaron O'Driscoll, hello Aaron, 10. We're going to be hearing this song all summer once the contest is over. Izzy Jaden, 10. Basic bitch bop, but hunty. I love it. I love that comment, Jaden.
Who's that?
Izzy Jaden. I love that. Angus, 10. In brackets, singing. Marco gave it a 7. Shane Gallagher, 9. Stephen Lynch, 10. Keane, 5 out of 10. It's grown on me. It's a fun one to have in the contest. That's about it. Kira Tracy, 10. Adam G, serving a 9.5. Nathan Cassidy, can't, 10. One of my favorite entries from Malta. I hope her vocals will serve Malta top 10. Malta top 5, girl. Malta top 5. All Things Adam, 7. Scott Taney, 7.5. And Adam P, 6. Oh, Adam P would love this a bit more now. Come on, Adam. You're not serving. Not serving. Lee, what are you going to get this?
9.5.
Good.
Iconic song.
Love that. I'm going to give this a 9. And when we compile our votes and your votes together, the average is 7.85. Which is...
I'm not happy with that, to be honest.
I thought it would be above an 8.
That's like not in our top 3.
No.
What happens if I delete that 0? Kind of interest. It goes up to a 7.9. Okay, so it wouldn't even put it in the top 3. So I've put the 0 back in. Okay, all right. No collusion here.
I guess it is slightly representative of it being maybe polarizing in a way that, you know, it is getting a lot of tens, but it also is getting maybe low scores from people who can't vote for it because they find it offensive and all that sort of stuff, which is, I guess, fair enough.
Yeah.
So Malta is done and dusted, and our final country for this episode is Montenegro, and they are back after a two-year absence. Last appeared in 2022 in Torino. They are back this year with Nina Zizek with Dobrodošli.
Wonderful pronunciation,
thank
Connor.
You.
I feel like we're tracking Connor's pronunciations these
getting better,
days.
It's getting better.
First of all, can I shout out Padder, mm-hmm. great friend of the podcast and Albanian legend. He has the most beautiful cover of this song. So gorgeous. I'm right in thinking he met her as well.
He met her, yeah.
And he was on Montenegrin telly
talking
about us. That's so cool. We love to see Irish talent and Irish friends represented in these places. But yes, Montenegro, what are you thinking of the song, Connor?
Not much to say about the song whatsoever. Look, it's beautiful that it's there. But Montenegro, you didn't qualify in 2022 with a sad ballad. You're not going to qualify in 2025 with a sad ballad or more dramatic sad ballad. Yeah, I feel like Montenegro are stuck in this rut of thinking that we're still in like 2000s Eurovision, early 2010s Eurovision. This just does not work anymore. If you're sending a ballad, you need something extra special. You can't have the dramatics, the key change, the big note. And even then, the big note in this isn't even that much of an epic moment. She can certainly sing it, but it's not enough. You can't be coming back to the contest. Especially with the country that struggles to qualify, you need to be nearly double your game. With us, you know, for songs maybe we've sent over the last few years, another country could qualify with it because they have this record. When you're a country that's struggling, you need to nearly do double the work to make sure you get through to the final. This is not going to get through, especially being in that death spot. And, you know, a bit of a bad out move from the EBU to put them in that second spot, considering they're coming back. And Luxembourg, like we said last year, there was a big high polluting promotion thing of them coming back, and then Montenegro is back, and it's, oh, here's the death slot, or, you know, the fans' death slot. You know, technically slot number three is more of a death spot, but yeah, I'm just not loving this. It's just not a song that I listen to, and I can't connect with it. Even though she does sing it well, and I did appreciate it a bit at LEP, but that was a bit it, to be honest. Yeah, not much more to add. Lou?
Very similar, Connor. I think, you know, I'm not as privy to bulk ballads as others are, so I appreciate maybe this. I'm not as much the audience, I suppose, will say. I'm glad it's here in terms of like that representation, but the song passes me by. As you said, Connor, they've completely buried it with that running order spot. I nearly think for like fun and giggles, they should have just like stuck it in a nice spot somewhere just to see how it gets on. But I suppose at the end of the day, it is a television show and they have to make the best show possible, you know, coming after Australia and before Ireland, like whiplash, absolute whiplash. Mm-hmm. Serbia is in this semi-final, and I was having a quick flick back there, Connor, just to see, you know, their last three participations, Serbia has been in their semi-final and Serbia is this year. Back in 2019, when they sent Demol, they got 8 from the Serbian public and 12 off the jury. Which, you know, the two countries are so tight-knit, that can happen, that they get high points off the other. In 2022, when they sent Breed, they got 12 from the public and 7 off the jury. And then looking at this semi-final, Serbia's in it, but like even if Serbia gives them the 24, which like, look, it's a bit annoying, but that can happen. Oh, of course, sorry, the jury's gone. There, yeah. Jesus, look at me, forgetting. So even if Serbia gives them the 12, which could happen, I just don't see where else they're going to get any points. It's just so difficult for them to navigate out of this semi-final. Like, we don't even have Albania to help them, maybe. You know, a lot of the Balkan countries, unfortunately, aren't in Eurovision. We don't have Macedonia. So it's a very uphill battle for them. She's an amazing vocalist, and I'm glad to see there's like a little bit of a cult love for this online. Like, it's a small group, but there is a bit of love for her. And unfortunately, it's just another one of those Balkan ballads. Like, we'll be watching recaps in years to come and we'll be like, oh, I forgot about that. What was Montenegro 2025? Oh, I don't remember. You know, it's such a shame. Even the memorability isn't there for them. But Connor, it's good to have a look at our listener scores just to see, is anyone differing from us? One person I've already shouted about today, but of course, Patter's given this a 9 and has said, not sponsored, I promise. 2 from Callum, really boring, but good theatrical performance and good voice. 6.5 from Michael Flinner, 6 from Mady K, and I'm going to scroll down here. 3 from Niall Horan, 3 from James, 6.5 from Taggy Hiragi, objectively a very good song about an important topic, just doesn't excite me. 7 from Anne Guyan, 5 for Reese, 4 for Carl, not the biggest fan, a bit static, I don't really feel the energy from the song. 8 from Owen O'Neill, 4.5 from Dara, 3 from Mike Stagramming saying I can't finish it, sad face. 2 from Glenn, 4.5 from 90s Fep Head, and 6 from Cahill Brady. Any more, Connor?
Yeah, strictly Jonathan gave this a 3.5 with a couple of Zs, same as me. Zach gave it an 8 out of 10. Danny gave it a 5. Her voice is stunned, but the song is below average. Score is most likely on her performance. Silver Brooch gave it a 2. She can sing, but would prefer her to sing something else. Bud O'Leary, 2. Gulliver, 8. Keen gave it a 2. Sparky gave it a 3. Jack gave it a 4. Declan Burke gave it a 2. Great singer. No saving the song, though. Yeah, I'm going to give this a 3, personally. I think vocally she's amazing. The song itself is okay, but just when it's in a competition and competing against other songs, it's got to be a 3. What about you, Lou?
Interesting. I have given this a 2. And the average is interesting, Connor. It's a 4.63, which is actually like, it's not amazing, but it's not in the Eurovision bottom three.
No.
Because
that's not
at
bad.
The minute we have Georgia, Croatia and Armenia racing our bottom three, and Montenegro is not in there. So a little bit more, I would say, like for this. There isn't a huge amount of love. I only see 110 on this list scrolling down. But it's a bit more lukewarm for people, which is interesting. Interesting, but will that translate to votes? Who knows? So we have Luxembourg, Malta and Montenegro discuss today, guys. Hope you enjoyed this quickfire. Tomorrow we'll be back for a big one for a Friday. It's Netherlands, Norway and Poland. You don't want to miss that one. Thanks so much for submitting all of your scores so far. We really appreciate it. Love the interaction. Highest amount of quickfire votes we've ever had this year, which is amazing. And sorry if we haven't called any of your scores out yet. We're doing our best to get through as many as possible. We hope you're enjoying the run-up to this Eurovision season. You don't want to miss anything, guys. Follow our socials, Eurovision Podcast on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on TikTok. X, there are main spots where you want to find us. You can find all of the places to follow us in our link tree. You can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating if you like it on those podcast platforms so that other Eurovision fans can find us. And we'll chat to you tomorrow in the next episode. For now, all Connor and I have to say is
Slán go fóill.